Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, one good piece of news. Congress has reached a deal for the January 6th Commission to investigate the cause of the January 6th insurrection. Now, here's the background and here's what it is. Nancy Pelosi had proposed a bipartisan deal on a commission. Nancy Pelosi could just have done a commission because Democrats have a majority in the House. She could have appointed all Democrats, but it wouldn't have had legitimacy in the public mind. So she proposed a bipartisan commission that would have one more Democrat than Republican because they have the majority. The Republicans turned that down. Kevin McCarthy has been weaseling around in the background trying to quash it, saying they should also investigate Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And of course, the Democrats' response, what do you mean Black Lives Matter? They were peaceful protesters because people were getting murdered, strangled, George Floyd shot in the back, Jacob Blake, Eric Garner strangled. And Antifa, you know, that's a term that's thrown around loosely. There are a handful of violent nuts anywhere, but there doesn't appear to be any organized group that has some hierarchy called Antifa. All they're trying to do is junk it up. Anyway, it wasn't going anywhere, but there's a lot of pressure on the Republicans. Finally, the committee that handled it in the Congress, the Republican chairman is a guy named Katko, K-A-T-K-O, Katko. He's a Republican, but he's from New York. So he has to mind his P's and Q's. He's somewhat moderate. So he and the Democrat from Mississippi agreed on a commission. Now, that doesn't bind McCarthy, but when you have a committee of Republicans and Democrats urging something, it puts McCarthy in a real box. So I think this is going to go through. And here's the deal. Here's what it is. It'll have 10 members, including a chairman. One of the 10 will be the chair. Chuck Pelosi Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will pick 5 of the 10, including the chair. And they'll just get together and they'll come up with 5 people. Moscow Mitch McConnell, and that slippery Kevin McCarthy will pick 5 also, including the vice chair. These are people who are supposed to be experienced. No current government employees or officers, no congressmen, nothing, no politicos. If they want to issue a subpoena for testimony, it requires the concurrence of the chair and the vice chair, the Democrat and the Republican, or a majority of the commission. And since it's 5-5, that would mean one of the Republicans had to come over. Here's the basis behind all of this. Kevin McCarthy is deathly afraid that he's going to be subpoenaed and asked about his conversation with Trump on January 6th. Remember, he called Trump and said, Mr. President, you've got to stop this thing. They're out to kill congressmen. And Trump said, well, apparently they care more about their government than you do. McCarthy told that to a Democratic congresswoman from Seattle, or state of Washington anyway. And she repeated it. And now he is desperately afraid. He basically denied it after he told her that, but he's desperately afraid that if he goes under oath and is asked that question, did that occur? If he commits perjury, it's a felony, he can go to prison. If he says, yes, it did occur, then he looks bad to Trump. If he says, I don't remember if it occurred back in January, nobody believes that. And in the law, if one party says, this was said in a conversation, and the other one says, I just don't remember one way or the other, the testimony of the first one holds, it controls. So as a practical matter, McCarthy is desperately afraid that he may be subpoenaed. So we'll see what happens. Since the committee on a bipartisan basis is approving this, a lot of pressure on McCarthy, but If I were the Democrats, I would demand a subpoena of him. The vice chair won't do it. I'd put it to the commission. Hopefully one Republican will come on board. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, Matt, I think I mentioned it to you last week, and I'm going to stand by it. The situation in the Middle East gets no better with Netanyahu in power until they figure out that they have a corrupt leader like we did finally. This is going nowhere. And anything that we had or supposedly had under Trump's son-in-law, in my opinion, it was nothing more than a house of cards built on a foundation of sand. You can't trust this man. And he's going to keep this thing burning because it's the only thing that keeps him in power. And the rest of the world, I mean, I know we're staunch allies and we should be, but the rest of the world doesn't view them quite the same. And now when this continues on, they got ammunition to say, well, what is going on here? You know, innocent people are dying daily.
I appreciate calling in, Dick. You and I have a difference of opinion. I'll tell you why. There are 9 million people in Israel, 9 million. And there are like 1.3 billion Muslims around the world. And everybody seems united against them, against Israel. And in this case, 3,000 rockets are launched into Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and other Israeli cities. What do you do? Israel didn't start with airstrikes. The rockets got launched. That was a disproportionate response to some of the things that were that they objected to, the evictions, and then the tear gas and the rubber bullets with the police. But sending 3,000 rockets indiscriminately into a civilian territory, what do you do if you were the mayor of New York and that happened, or LA, or Atlanta, or Milwaukee, or Madison for that matter, or Chicago? So the question of Netanyahu as prime minister is a separate issue. He has a lot of opposition in Israel, and I think eventually, obviously, there's going to be a change in administration. But in the short run, I would say this: until people among Muslim nations are able to enter into peace agreements, and many do, without their leadership being assassinated, there won't be peace. Now, what Trump and Jared Kushner did, and there's no radio station in the country that was harder on Trump and Kushner than me, frankly. But what they did was amazing. They got the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco to recognize Israel's right to exist, to trade with it, to trade with it. They got Saudi Arabia to permit Israeli planes to go through Saudi airspace. That's not an inconsequential thing. Then we have Jordan, a very, very fine ally of the United States and a fine country. Egypt has cooperated with the United States, stopped the shipment of weapons through Egypt to Hezbollah and to Hamas and all the rest. And people are getting reasonable. But the problem is, in that area of the world and in the culture, everybody thinks he has a right to kill even a leader if he thinks he's an apostate of some sort. That culture has got to change. So Israel's in a very tough area. It's a very tough neighborhood. Very good people on the other side. The Palestinian people are wonderful people. They really are. And very able. They're smart. They're good neighbors. They'd be great. It's not the Palestinian people. What it is this assassin's veto over their leadership so that they can't enter into peace agreements. And then what happens is, when there are confrontations like the evictions and the police conduct, do you launch 3,000 rockets into civilian areas and just because of that? That's a disproportionate response. Anyway, I really appreciate your call as always, Dick. We have a difference of opinion. I think there will be a change of leadership in Israel, but as long as there isn't a change in the culture of the restraint on leaders in the other community, it's going to be hard to have peace. Going to the break, lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.